Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hi guys, Bianca here. Do you like Parks and Rec? Do you like a few sneaky bevvies? Well, you're in luck. We found a fantastic podcast for you. Enjoy.
Is there a better role model than Leslie Knope?
Do you like the smooth stylings of Duke Silver?
Do you think Lil Sebastian is the best damn little horse the world has ever seen?
Then you'll love the Parks and Rec podcast.
Or maybe you had no idea what we were talking about just now. Don't worry, we've got you covered too.
Hi, I'm Joey.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Sean.
And every Thursday, we cover an episode of the show Parks and Rec with someone from Parks and Rec.
That's Sean.
All while getting Parks and Rec'd.
So pull up a seat, and we'll have more fun than an Entertainment 720 party featuring DJ Roomba!
DJ Roomba!
Visit us at parksrecpod.com or listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening. Parks and Rec'd.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast while we were all living the vida lockdown. But now we're free. For now. Woo-hoo. Yay. Brisbane and New South Wales, keep your shit to yourself. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, please.
Thank you. Thank you. We take aim at one topic each week, along with a bottle of, or three of wine or something else, and we try to make sense of that topic. Right, ladies, what are we drinking?
Well, I am drinking, or have drunk, I grabbed my... Yep. Yeah, so I grabbed from the fridge... the solo pear cider that was in there. And then I grabbed the three Majuri Illusions. I do have a bottle of Moscato for backup. I'm already onto my first Illusion.
Would you like to explain to our listeners why you're scrambling to buy alcohol because you forgot something is closed on Good Friday?
I'm an idiot. Just flat out. Oh, Lord. No, okay. I have been on this planet for 37 and a half years and forgot that everything shuts on Good Friday. Yep. Just flat out forgot. Went down to the supermarket and was like, why is there no cars? And I'm like, it's closed. Wow. Cool. Oh, the bottle is closed too. Oh, and Thirsty Camel. Fuck. So I come home and ask my daughter if I could drink her drinks. And that is the story
for tonight's topic. That relate to that topic. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just mad at myself. I'm an idiot. Yeah, well established now.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, the listeners should know that already by now. I mean, yeah.
You haven't figured out the three of us are complete and utter morons. What are you doing?
Yeah. Clearly you're not listening hard enough.
Listen harder.
Or, you know, actually listen. Exactly. Don't just have us on in the background. Actually listen, because, mate.
Yeah.
We realise we're fucking dumb.
Hey, Sarah, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Brown Brothers Sparkling Moscato because I, too, had this just sitting around in my fridge. But yeah. My thing is I've also got, like, several other bottles of wine. And I said that really weird. Can I re-say that? I have several other bottles of wine. Shit.
No, we like the slurred version better, mate.
How much do I drink? Yeah. Not much. But, yeah, I remembered. I did remember that everything was shut, except for Bunnings, because I didn't think that actually knew how to shut. Turns out they do.
Oh, no.
No, long weekend, people.
Well, I am drinking an old fave because it's strangely warm this Easter weekend for us. I'm drinking Boy Meets Girl Pinot Grigio from my Wine Pyramids game, which I love so much. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a part of it because quite clearly I cannot get my shit together. I
need somebody Use my code for a promo.
Oh,
no, wait. Now I'm part of the Pyramids game. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
All right, Bianca, do you want to tell us what our topic is for tonight?
Okay, gladly. So our topic tonight is 90s movies. Girl power. I'm doing a peace sign. None of you can see that.
Girl power edition.
Yep. Yeah, 90s. Yes. Which is why I'm drinking Madeira Illusions, because I was a teenager from mid-90s onwards. So, yeah, we really did grow up in the 90s. We've covered that before. So, yeah. And this is our 30th episode, and the 90s were 30 years ago this year. So, yeah.
Yeah. I refuse to believe it.
5 or 6 years ago, tops.
Yeah.
My sister will agree with that since she's turning 30 this year.
Oh, poor bastard.
Yeah. So, look, I'm going to start off 90s movies girl power episode with what is the origin of girl power? So, back in 1991, US punk band Bikini Kill published a feminist magazine, or zine for those still stuck in the 90s, and it was called Girl Power. The band's lead singer, Kathleen Hanna, said she was inspired by a Black Power slogan, which I didn't go out and find. Sorry about it. The term then became popular in the early to mid-90s punk culture. Many bands used the term, including Welsh band Hell and Love. And they, yeah, the words girl power appeared in the chorus of their 1992 song, Formula One Racing Girls. And then pop punk duo Shampoo, I love them, they released an album and a single titled Girl Power in 1995. Nice. And then, yes, and then from there, the term became like insanely popular. From mid-90s, blew up, became a household name because of the Spice Girls.
Yes, queens.
Yep. But no, I think that's enough about the music, but that is where it came from. And I believe that would probs deserve its own episode. So, let us know if you'd like us to dedicate an entire episode to the music that embodies female empowerment. We could call it You Go Girl or some other amazing cliche saying.
And look, realistically, I mean, yes, we're saying girl power, and that's a term that was phrased in the 90s, but the concept of girl power has streamed back for eons. So, I mean, we could cover so much, but we tend not to get too political with this sort of stuff, and we don't want to be too, you know, in your face with certain things. So, I mean, as much as we all are very much about female empowerment, we don't necessarily dive into this too much. But if this is something you want us to cover, let us know. FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, let's get this train back on track. So movies containing messages of women empowerment or girl power, because remember it was spelt with like three R's, no vowels.
Girl power. And with a U, strangely, like why?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then it was girl power. Yeah. So when I think of movies from the 90s that inspire women to be badass bitches, I think of Thelma and Louise from 1991, Matilda, 1995. Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, queen. Yes, queen.
I just really didn't like it, but you know.
Wow.
Oh my God. We're having a conversation about that later.
Yeah.
You do not like that film. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So Mulan from 1998. Yeah. 10 Things I Hate About You, 1999. Yes. To Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar.
Yes, Queens. Oh, my God, it's one of my favorites. Yeah. Yes. I love that film. I love it so much.
Yes, right? So good. So good. And, like, that movie just shows that you can be – there is no wrong way to be a woman.
No.
That's it. There is no wrong way to be a woman.
And if there was, Wesley Snipes should have found it in that film, and he didn't, so, yeah.
No, yeah. Wesley Snipes, Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo. Oh, my God. If you haven't seen that movie, most people actually refer to it as just To Wong Fu. No one really ever says To Wong Fu, thanks for everything. Julie Newmar. Yeah, it's just To Wong Fu. Yeah, you got to see it. So the next one on my list is Buffy the Vampire Slayer from 92.
Yes, Queen.
Yeah. Tank Girl from 95. Yeah, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion from 97.
Love it.
A League of Their Own from 1992. The Craft from 1996. Sister Act from 92.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Spice World from 97. Jawbreaker, one of our faves. Yes.
Yeah.
Clueless. Who didn't love Clueless? Oh, my God.
Ugh, as F.
Yeah.
Ugh, as F.
Yes, so good. And then we have Now and Then, which we talked about in a previous episode. If you haven't listened to that, please go back. And Mermaids, that was a fantastic film. Oh, my God. Like, that's an all-star cast. Love it. And Fried Green Tomatoes, that's probably my top list. And one of them I did have in there, but then I checked the year and it was actually an 89 film, which was still Magnolia's. I could have sworn it was the 90s, but no, it was actually 89. So I had to bump it out. That's pretty much what I think of when I think of girl power movies. Is there any you girls think I've missed that you would say was, you know, a girl power movie to you for the 90s?
I don't know.
But, you know, there's so many.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many that, I don't know. Female characters really sort of came into their own for me in the 90s because I was an impressionable teen. So pretty much any teen film, I mean, you can go back and look at things like Scream. I mean, you know, the main character who basically, you know, rules the day in the end, that's a female.
Mm. Yeah.
The Long Kiss Goodnight, Gina Davis, mm-hmm. Yes, Queen.
Yeah.
It really came for me. It really came into it, like, in effect in my mind in the 90s because I was an impressionable teenager. So yeah.
Mm. Yeah. One I didn't put in there, which I just remembered just now, which I should have. I'll look up the year. Yeah. So G.I. Jane.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was 97. Yeah, any girl who shaved their head, and I remember I was friends with a girl in high school, she was absolutely dragged being called G.I. Jane. In the end, she just had to own it because what are you going to do? Yeah.
Correct.
So, yeah, I'll crack onto my movie now. So the movie, oh, I'm just going to have a drink first, actually.
Chug, 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 chug.
Get the
I got right into this Majuri Illusions thing. Sorry.
The movie I'm going to cover tonight is A League of Their Own, which I mentioned before.
I love this. I love it.
So, yeah, this movie has an amazing cast. So it has, I had the list here somewhere and I've lost it. Okay, here we go. I lost my tab. I'm so sorry, people.
No, you don't have to apologize to us. You're editing this week. So.
Yeah.
I knew. Yes, it has a pretty amazing cast. You've got Tom Hanks, Gina Davies, Lynn Cartwright, Madonna, Laurie Petty, Rosie O'Donnell. There is Anne Ramsey, Megan Kavanagh, Tracy Rayner, And then, like, there's the others in the cast, like John Lovitz, David Strathairn, Gary Marshall, Julie Crotow, Bill Pullman, Janet Jones, Tia Leone. Janet Jones is, that's her maiden name. She's actually now Janet Marie Gretzky.
Like as in the baseball Gretzky's? Hockey.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky. That's her husband.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, Janet Jones. And I looked at her and went, oh, yeah, her. I remember seeing her in there, but yeah.
I didn't know she was married to a Gretzky.
I know. So, yeah, a few of these names you may not know, like just from the name, but look them up and you'll be like, oh, my God, I know who this person is. I've seen her in so many things.
I know.
Yeah. If ever there was a movie that proved throwing like a girl is not an insult, it is the 1992 quotable classic, A League of Their Own. The movie is about the real-life All-American Girls Professional Basketball League, or AAGPBL. And the movie is both fact and crap, which I love.
It's a mix of fact and crap.
Yeah. I do love a movie that is based on real life. I get a real kick out of it. And this is one of them. And so in the movie, I'm just going to go through my segment tonight. It's going to be all a bit of fact and a bit of crap. So in the movie, it is Walter Harvey that comes to the aid of America's favorite pastime, suggesting that while the boys are at war, they should use girls for the season. In real life, it was actually Philip Wrigley who stepped up to the plate. Ha ha. Yeah. If you don't know who he is, he is the son of the chewing gum tycoon. So it was actually his dad who started Wrigley Gum.
Oh.
And so he also became the eventual owner of the Chicago Cubs because his dad's the one who bought the Cubs. And they are the longest running family to ever own a sports ball. Yeah.
A sports team.
Yeah,
that's
it. Yeah.
To own a sports ball. Yeah.
You can tell how into sports we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the longest running people to own a sports dealie. Yeah.
With the sports thing and the bowl and.
You know the sports. Yeah, they own one of those things.
Yeah. So Philip Wrigley, he launched the All-American Girls Baseball League in 1943. So early in the movie, we learn that Walter Harvey, who's played by Gary Marshall, is a chocolate bar magnate who's trying to start the Women's Basketball League. So
Baseball.
Oh, my God. I am all over the show. What the fuck, drinks? So
it's your illusion.
It's my illusion. Yeah. So he's trying to start the bloody Women's Baseball League. Later, near the start of the movie, there's a tryout scene and they actually filmed it at Wrigley Field, which is a nice little nod to the real founder.
Mm.
Yeah. I didn't realize that they actually filmed it at Wrigley. Oh, that's actually cool. So in 1943, that time is actually a time of unity when Americans banded together in support of the European and Pacific theatre struggles. Wrigley wanted the AAGPBL players to represent that American spirit, so much so that they could actually fine for unbecoming conduct. And so, basically, he just wanted theatre. He just wanted people to fill the stadiums and to be happy, all the ones that are at home and haven't gone away to war to fight the Nazis, and including those that went to war that you might know of is Joe DiMaggio.
Yes.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that had to, yeah, they had to. Yeah, go away and fight. And yeah, so
wasn't Joe DiMaggio married to Marilyn Monroe at some stage?
Yes, he was. And yeah, so while the boys are away, the girls had to step up. Yeah, but basically, most people know of that poster with the woman and she's rolling up her sleeves, you know. And the women went into factories and stuff like that too. So
factories, farms. Pretty much every career.
There's a quote from at the start of the film that I think really it puts it into perspective exactly how it was at the time. Careers and higher education are leading to the masculinization of women with enormously dangerous consequences to the home, the children, and our country. When our boys come home from war, what kind of girls will they be coming home to? Young girls plucked from their families are gathered at Harvey Field to see which one of them can be the most masculine. And it was real.
Rounding up people and putting them in detainment camps like they did to Japanese people or people of Japanese descent who are American citizens, that was fine. That wouldn't be damaging at all. Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
that's fine.
No,
yeah.
But women actually going out and playing baseball, holy shit, that's disgusting.
I think what that whole thing says is basically, shit, if we come home and they're better than us at sports ball, what are we going to do? That's what they were worried about, is they would come home and we would be better at it than them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they were worried about.
Yeah, look, it does sum up the climate at the time, and that's how it was. And, yeah, these women stepping up and playing the game, and I think it's great. It really, it was a good step forward for all women everywhere.
Yeah. And women in sports too, because women in sports wasn't necessarily a massive thing prior to that. It was a men's thing doing sports. Yes. But, after the war, and then coming through from, I suppose, lots of different facets, women became, known to be sports people as well, which is great.
Exactly, yeah. Move on to a Gina Davis character. So she plays Dottie Henson, and this was inspired by real-life player Dorothy Kamenchek. And she was a left-hander, baseman, and outfielder. Cammy was the most feared hitter in the league and a perennial all-star. Wow. So Dottie in the movie is actually a right-handed catcher. So it was literally an inspiration. They didn't follow it at all, but that was, And in the movie, Dottie retires after one season where they make it to the World Series. Cammy actually played for 10 seasons. Wow. And she finished with an all-time best of .292. That was her career batting average. I know nothing about sports ball.
I know some sports ball. I know nothing about baseball.
But, out of 10 seasons, she only struck out 81 times. That's amazing to me because I'd probably strike out every time.
Same.
And Major League Baseball actually once called her the finest fielding first baseman, and that actually included male players.
Wow.
So she was real up there. So and her character, like Dottie, is a very strong woman, and I love it. And I love Gina Davis.
So great.
Yes, queen. Oh my god, one of my faves.
I know.
Yeah, childhood. Yeah. Love her since childhood. Same. Always wanted to be
her. Gina Davis, we love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So also in the movie, after being traded from the Peaches to the Bells, Kit, who's played by Laurie Petty, the scene near the end of the film where she's running from third base to home, and she just slams into Dottie, knocks the ball from Dottie's hand to win the first championship. The Bells did actually in real life win in 1943, but it wasn't the Peaches that they beat. Bit of fact, a bit of crap. Yeah. They did win. It just wasn't the Peaches. So, yeah. The brat, I don't, yeah, do you guys remember that little brat Stillwell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was absolutely freaking annoying. In real life, there wasn't actually any kids that went on tour, right? But, like, that actually they never let any of the women have their children with them. But there was the, yeah, there was the possibility of them falling pregnant. Yeah, yeah. One of the teams, what they call themselves, the Sassy Slyback, I don't know, it was something really, unbecoming. Because they traveled a lot. So, yeah, they slept around a bit.
We'll call them the Slutty Susans. Definitely one. Yep, I am the Slutty Susan.
So that was a bit of a problem because Wrigley wanted them to be clean cut. And, yeah, they did get fined. So, yeah, they did have to actually.
The men who were traveling around when they were playing baseball, they never had the same roles.
No, I know.
Fuck the patriarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, so some of them did become pregnant, and, like, real-life player Dottie Collins, she actually pitched for the Fort Wayne Daisies, and she kept pinching well into her second trimester.
Good girl.
They didn't let things stop them. They would get on a bus all night to the game the next day. They would play the game. Some of them would play with broken fingers, sprains. They didn't stop. There's absolutely no, ow, my hand hurts. I'll sit this one out. Nope. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just, like, real pregnant. I'm going to throw this ball. What, you want to fucking stop me?
Fight me.
Yeah. And I feel that on a spiritual level. Badass bitch. I can do anything.
Yeah. From someone who worked up until, like, 2 days before she gave birth. Yeah. Yeah. Fight me. I'm not going anywhere. I have things to do.
Exactly. Oh, and yeah, Kit's climactic inside the park home run. Yeah, bowling over Dottie. It was that slam was actually still within baseball rules up until I was there like 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah, you're totally allowed to do that. Baseball is technically a contact sport for that reason.
You're not allowed to anymore, though. No touch. Yeah.
That's crap.
No touchy now.
And the catcher's, like, got all that padding. Like, it should be fine. I don't see why we can't do that. Anyway.
The other thing I found out, Tom Hanks's amazingly funny character actually never, like, existed. Jimmy Duggan was inspired by two real baseball players from that era. And the mix is Jimmy Fox and Hack Wilson, both former icons of the sport who drank themselves out of their careers.
He actually has my favorite line in that movie, and it's when he's yelling at the girls because he's an alcoholic and he's trying to coach them. He's screaming at one of them, and she starts crying. And he goes, "Are you crying? Are you crying? Is it crying in baseball?"
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, God, he's passed out on the bus. And then the matron lady who's, you know, looking after them, she comes in, chaperone, yeah, and she's trying to wake him up, and he just grabs her and kisses her. Then he, like, looks and sees that he's kissed her, and he takes a swig of his fucking flask. And he's like, right, I've got to drive the bus, okay. And he just turned around and goes, "I loved you in Wizard of Oz."
You love him. You love him and you hate him so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, look, I'm just going to leave it there and hope I've informed you about the real-life American women's football and basketball. And that's it. The American women's sports ball. And where they do the sports thing with the bats and the balls. With the diamond. And fuck. Just shoot me. I'm done. Stick a wrench in me.
I think we'll just call it American cricket.
A league of their own. 10 out of 10, I highly recommend.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I second that.
Amy, what have you got?
Well, I'm going to cover over a classic movie called Spice World.
Yay!
Spice World is a 1997 British musical comedy film. The comedy stars pop girl group The Spice Girls, who all play themselves. Like, who else would they play? It's called Spice World. Like, who else are they playing? Anyway.
Could be anyone.
Could be anyone. The film actually was made in a similar vein to The Beatles' Hard Day's Night in 1964, which depicts a series of fictional events leading up to a major concert at London's Royal Albert Hall, liberally dispersed with dream sequences, flashbacks, as well as surreal moments. This movie is actually very funny. If you watch it and you listen to it instead of just going, why? Just watch it. It's actually quite amusing. So the movie stars the members of the Spice Girls, being Victoria Beckham, who was credited as Victoria Adams because she hadn't married, David Beckham yet.
Yeah.
She is Posh Spice. Melanie Brown, who is Scary Spice. Emma Bunton, who is Baby Spice. Melanie Chisholm, who is Sporty Spice. And Jerry Halliwell, which is Ginger Spice. The film premiered in the UK on the 15th of December in 1997, ahead of its wide theatrical release on British holiday Boxing Day, which is the same as ours, on the 26th of December. In North America, it was released on the 23rd of January in 1998 by Columbia Pictures. In the United States, Spice World became a box office success and broke the record for the highest ever weekend debut for a Super Bowl weekend. So they released the film on Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Gross sales were about $10.5 million.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Nice. The film actually grossed over $100 million at the box office worldwide. Despite being a box office success, the film received primarily negative reviews. It's a bit shit. I mean, I'm just gonna say it's a bit crap. But if you
thank God for teenage girls.
Exactly. Just get past the crap bits, it's great. So to date, Spice World is the highest grossing movie of all time by a musical group.
My God.
I can believe that.
Yeah. So the plot, okay, let's talk about that. So the film begins with the Spice Girls performing their song Too Much on Top of the Pops, but they become dissatisfied with the burdens of fame and fortune. Meanwhile, sinister newspaper owner Kevin McMaxford is trying to ruin the girls' career by putting things in his newspaper to basically derail them, you know, all that sort of stuff. McMaxford dispatches a photographer, Damien, to take the pictures and tape record the girls. Less threatening but more annoying is Piers Cuthbertson Smith, who stalks the girls along with his camera crew, hoping to use them as subjects in his next project. At the same time, the girls' manager, Clifford, oh God, I love this character, is fending off two overly eager writers, Martin Barnfield and Graydon, who relentlessly pitch absurd plot ideas for the girls' feature film. While all this is going on, the girls must prepare for their live concert at Royal Albert Hall in 3 days, the biggest performance of their career. And at the heart of it, the constant rehearsals, travelling, publicity, appearances, and other burdens of celebrity, the girls on a personal level preventing them from spending time with their very much pregnant best friend, Nicola, who is due to give birth very, very, very soon. Throughout their busy schedule, the girls try to ask Clifford for some time off. They just want to be with Nicola and relax, and they just want to do things. Clifford refuses because he's an asshole. Yes, well, he's not, but anyway. And then talking with the head of the girls' record label, the cryptic and eccentric Chief. Yeah, they say, no, you can't have any time off. The stress and overwork compound, which accumulate into the girls having a massive argument with Clifford, and the girls suddenly storm out on the evening before their gig at Albert Hall. The girls separately think back on their humble beginnings and their struggle to the top. They reunite by chance outside of an abandoned cafe where they used to practice in their adolescent years. They reconcile and decide to take Nicola out dancing. I don't know who decides to take a very heavily pregnant woman to a nightclub, but you're an idiot. Anyway.
Yeah.
However, Nicola's contractions start in the nightclub and then she's rushed to hospital in the girl's spice bus, giving birth to a healthy baby girl in a hospital many hours later.
I love that bus.
When Emma notices that the delivery quote-unquote doctor has a camera, the girls realize that he is Damien, who runs off and with the girls in hot pursuit, only to hit his head after accidentally colliding with an empty stretcher. When Damien sees the girls standing over him, he tells them that he's made a mistake and he sees the error of his ways. Yeah. Just the, yep. You know, the halo of Spice Girls around him. He sees the error of his ways. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, I would too.
So after all of that happened, the girls decide that they're going to make a mad dash across town to their gig. After noticing that Dennis, the bus driver, is missing, Victoria, a.k.a. Push Bus, decides to take the wheel. And it becomes a race against time as Victoria drives recklessly through London while approaching the Tower Bridge. The bridge starts to be raised to let a boat through the River Thames. Victoria decides, nah, we're going to jump it. And over they go. They floor it. And she has one of the best lines in the whole movie. For some reason, the rest of the girls are on top of the bus. Oh, we don't know why. But anyway, they're on top of the bus. And yeah. Victoria puts one of her very, very big stiletto heels down on the accelerator and she yells out, hold on to your knickers, girls! And then they plow over the bridge. It's hilarious.
I love that. Because they're sitting there in the cafe talking and he's like, so the girls are on top of the bus. Oh, my God, why are they on top of the bus? It's a baby. There they are on top of the bus. I love that so much.
But the hijinks on the bus have not ended there. No. That's not the end of the bus hijinks. No. The bus lands safely on the other side. Then Emma opens a trap door in the floor and she discovers a bomb. And the girls scream before Emma just slams the door shut again. It's fine. Fuck it. It's just a bomb, girls. We've got this. Yeah, the girls finally arrive at Albert Hall for their performance and they run up the steps. However, the girls have got one more obstacle to overcome. A London policeman charges the girls with dangerous driving, criminal damage, flying a bus without a license, and frightening pigeons.
Can't frighten those pigeons.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to frighten the pigeons.
Yeah. Emma pushes forward and explains to the policeman that she and the other girls were late for their performance at Albert Hall. Emma then smiles nicely at the policeman and he lets them go. It's fine. Yeah. The film ends with the girls performing their song Spice Up Your Life to open their Albert Hall concert, which is broadcast live on television in Britain and around the world. This movie has some great one-liners, as I said before. My favourite is when Posh is standing in her section of the Spice Bus asking what she should wear. And Posh has a very signature look, I don't know if you remember, which was a little black dress. That was her look.
Yes.
Yeah. Posh was my favourite, FYI. Yeah, she was my favourite. Baby Spice says, oh, what shall you wear? The little black Gucci dress, the little black Gucci dress, or the little black Gucci dress? Posh, having no idea that that was sarcasm, just goes, oh, yes, thank you, Emma. I'll wear the little black Gucci dress. Yeah. This movie actually also has loads of celebrities in it in supporting roles. In fact, only rewatching this movie recently did I realize how many celebrities are actually in this movie. It didn't really dawn on me as a teenager because I didn't really know who a lot of these people were. Really? And some of them are themselves in the movie, but others are in an assortment of roles. So Richard E. Grant is Clifford, so he's their manager, and if you Google him, you'll know who he is. Roger Moore is the chief, a.k.a. James Bond. Now, this one will blow your mind. Nakio Mori is Nicola, so that best friend who's pregnant. Mm. Mm. She's all fab. She's Titty Kaka.
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Who's that?
You know Saf's friend? You know Safi's friend who comes and they accidentally set her on fire and they do horrible things to her. Yeah. And every time she comes in, Pat goes, oh, here comes Titty Kaka.
Oh, that one. Yeah. I know who you're talking about now.
Meatloaf is Dennis, the bus driver. Barry Humphreys is Kevin McMaxford, who's trying to take the Spice Girls down. Alan Cummings is Piers Cuthbertson Smythe. George Wendt is Martin Barnfield. So he's the guy that's trying to pitch all these crazy movie ideas to Clifford. Yeah, he's Norm from Cheers.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones are Jules Holland, who we've actually all seen live in concert down Peninsula Fest that time. We actually saw him.
Oh, yeah, really? He was there. Did we?
Yeah. I know who he is. He hosts a very well-known music show in the UK. Dominic West, Elvis Costello, Elton John, Bob Geldof, Bob Hoskins, Jennifer Saunders, Huey Laurie, and Stephen Fry. Obviously, this movie is complete not a fiction. And the band was actually created, like many pop bands of the 90s, by a music studio putting out an ad in a newspaper and then holding auditions. The girls did not create this band themselves. So is this all fiction? It's all for fun. I saw this movie several times at the movies when it was released here, and I have now got my daughter in love with it as well. She absolutely loves this film. It probably has the worst plot line of any movie ever, but it's so bad. It's just good.
It is so good.
Yeah.
If you're a basic 90s bitch, don't deny it. You love this movie too. It's fine. It was a good film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, just a testament to girl power in the 90s. Take it away, Sarah.
I think it was, yeah.
Nice. Well, mine is Thelma and Louise, as Bianca mentioned earlier, 1991.
Yeah.
Because, hey, if you want a movie about girl power, can't really go past this one. The caption for this movie is, two friends, an unhappy housewife, Thelma, and a strong-willed waitress, Louise, leave responsibilities behind and take a weekend fishing trip in the mountains in their 1966 T-Bird convertible.
Oh, nice. Yes.
That is the caption for it. Thelma is played by Gina Davis because... Again, I'm in love with her slightly.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
Oh, what was it? Cutthroat Island. Oh, love that movie so fucking much.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Long Kiss Goodnight. Mm-hmm. Again, one of the best Christmas movies out there. People.
Absolutely.
It. It's a Christmas movie.
That's Christmas movie.
Email me if you want to take that up with us because, trust me, it's a Christmas movie. Friday Night Wine Fight at gmail.com if you do not think it's a Christmas movie.
Or hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr. Find us. We're there.
Find us. You'll find one of us somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's not hard. So Louise is played by Susan Sarandon.
Yeah. I love her too.
Who doesn't love her?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, have Harvey Keitel, he plays Hal the cop.
I also love him too.
You can't hate him in this movie when you really watch it. Brad Pitt plays JD, the young hitchhiker, who I will refer to through this thing as young hitchhiker. Yeah, I know. I don't know why. Christopher McDonald is Daryl. We all know Christopher McDonald, trust me. If you Google him, you're going to know him. And... Michael Madsen is Jimmy. And again, you'll know him when you look at him too.
Yeah.
Someone is now Googling this. I just saw it's Bianca, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Bianca. Oh, yeah, him. It's Shooter McGavin. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will refer to him. Actually, I do. In my thing, I refer to him as Shooter McGavin.
I've seen that man in so many movies.
Yeah, oh, he's so a many.
Really good actor. I actually really quite like him. Yeah. However, I always refer to him as Shooter McGavin. Oh, yeah, I like this movie. It's got Shooter McGavin in it.
Yeah.
Okay. My sister and I are watching Grease 2. I think,
he's in that too.
Yeah, and we didn't notice until we got to the reproduction. And he's there just going, where does the pollen go? And my sister fucking losing it.
Okay, so the movie starts out at the diner where Louise works. Then she's calling Thelma, who is at home, of course, housewife, making coffee for her husband, getting him ready for work so he won't be late in the morning.
Oh.
He, mind you, she calls him, and then when he finally comes down, he's like, don't holler at me. I hate it when you holler at me. Well, maybe if you fucking get your shit together.
Yeah, no, he's a literal piece of shit. But yeah. Anyway, yeah.
So, get your own damn coffee.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they're calling each other just to talk about the weekend trip. Now, this is where Thelma reveals that she has not yet asked her husband for permission to go.
Yeah.
So her husband, aka her husband, is an ass. Shoot him, McGavin.
Shooter.
Yeah. He finally leaves to go to work, like the ass that he is, yelling at people, just acting like a dick. And then she calls Louise back and says, okay, what time are you picking me up? So it's like, oh, yeah, awesome. She's going. So then it goes into the whole, you know, little scenes where they're all packing and you see Louise, you know, go home. She makes a phone call. No one answers. Flips a photo like, oh, okay, she's having relationship problems, clearly. And then she washes a glass and leaves it next to the sink. I'm like, okay, one glass. Very tidy house. Quite nice. And then you see Thelma. Now, she has packed fucking everything. Like, everything. And then she puts a gun in her purse. She's like, yep, and a gun. You're going fishing. What are you going to do? Shoot the fish?
They could be bears or wildlife. Yeah, that's a good
point. They could be bears or raccoons. And what if she doesn't know to bark at it?
Serial killers.
She's not Katie Holmes.
I'm definitely more likely to shoot some random dude who's just wondering if we're okay and if we have enough firewood than a bear. Let's be honest. I'm more likely to lay down on the ground going, it'll pass. Just let it go. It'll be fine. You've got the gun, Amy. Just shoot the bear. No. It's cool. Yeah.
She packs the gun. She packs everything. Fucking nets, fishing rods. I think it was like 4 or 3 suitcases.
Good Lord. Like,
shit, who's she going with? Amy?
Me. Yeah. Correct. Me.
Go away for a weekend with Amy and you've fucking got 4 suitcases and you're like, why do you need all this? We go for 3 days.
For reasons, okay? For reasons.
Cases of bed.
So true.
So Louise picks her up. They do their photo. Yay, we're going on a trip. And then Daddy. Yeah. And then they're in the car and then Thelma turns around and goes, I didn't actually ask my husband for permission. I just left him a note. And you're like, fair enough. I would too. Go on fishing. Back in a couple of days. Here's a TV dinner.
My note would read, you're a cunt. Bye.
Yeah. and then she turns around and she goes, oh, can you hold my gun? Can you just look after it? Thelma's like, why the fuck do you have a gun? She's like,
reasons.
In case there's a serial killer or a crazy person. You're coming out into the mountains. There's not going to be people at all. Okay, sure. Bears. Clearly must be.
I have stopped packing weapons for many a reasons, and it's because, well, look, if you want to attack us when we're on a weekend away, well, good fucking luck to you, mate. Good luck. Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out she stopped taking weapons when we went away because she kept hurting herself.
Yeah.
Well, there was that too. Yeah.
So, piss stop, and I'm calling it a piss stop because that would be my thing. Pee break one. Okay. So they stop off at, I think they called it a nightclub in the thing, but, you know, it's like a day bar that turns into a club. Thelma starts letting her hair down.
What's a day bar?
What's a day bar?
I need a day bar. Fuck the day spa. Where's the day bar?
Day bar.
My house is a day bar.
Yeah.
I'm in. Okay. I'm coming around.
It's just like one of those bars that are, you know, constantly open. We don't have those in Australia.
Oh, we do in the city. We don't really have
not them like that, though.
Yeah.
It was groungy and, yeah, dirty. You know, the type of place you want to you know, take a piss break. So, yeah, so she starts drinking and flirt with one of the bar locals who, after has gotten her quite intoxicated, has tried to take advantage of her and then takes her outside. She throws up and he tries to rape her. This is where Louise comes in with the gun, pulls the gun on the guy, threatens to shoot him. He goes, okay. So they start walking off. He turns around and says something like, suck my dick. She turns around and shoots him. Bam. Dead.
Yeah.
As you do.
That's just why I'm not allowed to carry a gun.
But, yeah. So they freak out. And, yeah, freak out, jump in the car, drive off. So they're on the road trying to, you know, formulate a plot to, you know, what the fuck are we going to do? Oh, we can turn ourselves into the police. No, we can't do that. Why not? Because we can't.
Reasons, Sarah. Reasons.
Yeah. Reasons. Reasons of plot. Sure. So Louise calls her boyfriend, Jimmy, to wire her some money in Oklahoma. Thelma calls her husband. He's not home. Oh, he's an ass. So on the way to Oklahoma, Louise decides to go Mexico. This is where we're going. Well, this is where I'm going. You can come along too if you really wish. Okay. So, yeah. Oh, it was the next pit stop. Thelma calls her husband. And, yeah, he is an ass. Tells him to fuck off because he's just being an ass. You'll come home now. She's like, no. I'll come home in a couple of days. No, you'll come home. She's like, no, well, fuck off. She trips over a young hitchhiker.
As you do.
As you do. He asked her for a ride. Yeah. He asked her for a ride. And Louise says, sorry, computer says no. So they're back on the road and they're trying to make their way to Mexico, but to Oklahoma, then to Mexico. And I've lost my spot. Oh, that's right. She gives, Louise gives Thelma a map and says, work out a route to Mexico. And she's like, okay, so we can go this way and we can go this way. She's like, oh, we can't go through Texas. She's like,
no. Nah, you'll get the chair in Texas.
Yeah, no. See, Louise was from Texas. So she's just like, no, we can't go through Texas for reasons. There are reasons, reasons we can't go. I don't want to talk about it, but there's reasons. Now let's drop the subject. Well, fuck. Okay. So they've been driving for a while. And what do they see on the side of the road? The same young hitchhiker, Brad Pitt. Or, as I'm going to continue to call him, young hitchhiker. So instead of, you know, before when the computer says no, oh, computer changed its mind. Yeah, sure, let's pick him up. This can't go wrong. So yeah. As you do, you pick up the hitchhiker while you're on the run. So while all that is happening, the cop who responds to the dead man at the bar is now looking into Thelma and Louise. It's like, oh, well, these two ladies seem, you know, suspicious. Let's look into them. The waitress at the bar said, no, it couldn't have been them. The one that had her hair all done nice, she left me a big tip. She just didn't seem the type. So, ladies, when we go to kill someone, leave the waitress a large tip. She'll say it wasn't us.
Yeah. And have nice hair. Got it.
Yeah.
Get the hair.
Yeah.
Leave big tips.
Yeah.
Waitress will cover for
you. Oh, wait. I thought you said big tits, and I thought, oh, yeah, we're all over that.
Might help, depending on her sexuality. But, hey.
Ah, big tips. Tips. Got it. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I've gone past where I was. Oh, yeah. So the cops found Louise's place and is now chatting with her husband, who ended up standing in his own pizza. And I just went, what a mess. Shooter McGavin, he was such a mess. How did you end up with Gina Davis? Back on the road, they get to Oklahoma to pick up the money. And Louise walks into the place where Jimmy says it's going to be. And she gives over the code word. And then all of a sudden, there's Jimmy. And she's like, what are you doing here? He's thinking, oh, you've just asked me to wire you a shit ton of money. I'm going to see why. I love Jimmy in this. So they go to a motel for the night, and the young hitchhiker was still with them. Jimmy kicked him out of the car and said, nah, you can go, fuck. Fair enough. I think Jimmy's got his head screwed on probably.
I think he probably realised, look, mate, some shit's going down. You're just a young bloke. You don't need to be involved. Yeah. You don't need any of these girl shenanigans. Sorry. You need to get out.
So while Louise was upstairs trying to break up with Jimmy, having, you know, break up sex and everything and failing miserably to break up with him.
I have to go to Mexico because I killed a guy. Doesn't mean we have to break up.
She didn't actually tell him what had happened. She never told him what had happened. She didn't want him to become an accessory more than what he already was.
He's just wired her money while she's on the run. So
I don't know why I wired her money. She just asked for it. I'm being a nice boyfriend, giving it to her.
He's just a nice guy. What can I say?
So Thelma and young hitchhiker, actually Thelma was in the room alone with the money, and Thelma said, look after that money. And she's like, done, looking after it. Next thing, young hitchhiker is knocking at the door. And she's like, oh, young hitchhiker, please come in.
Fucking winner. How do you keep finding us? This is not scary at all.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, he divulges to her while, you know, they're fooling around. He's a bit of a bank robber slash, you know, just a robber. Likes to rob people. Yeah. She's like, oh, that's so cool and interesting. Let's have sex. So they just,
fucking same.
Now, if this was us, this is the reason why all of a sudden I've got my door being kicked in by one of you two going, can you hold all the money? I'm going to shag that stranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
all the condoms I threw. Yeah, all the condoms I threw on your balcony. Can I have them back now?
I'm not gonna Thelma and Louise's, but I'm definitely shagging this stranger. So somebody else has to hold on to the money, like now.
Yeah.
And I can't be trusted with the money for other reasons.
Yeah. I drink it. That's another story.
Drink my money and the fuel money.
That
still was magic. We don't actually know that how that happened because we locked it up in the car and I had the keys, so I don't really know how that works.
Okay, Amy drank the money.
No, actually, it wasn't me. It was Bianca. We know that for a fact.
It was me. It had to have been me.
Okay, anyway.
But, yeah.
Back on track. Yep. So, next morning, Louise says goodbye to Jimmy and then Thelma walks into the cafe and sits with her. She's all giddy and, just had sex with a really hot young guy, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, where is he now? She's like, he's having a shower in the room. She's like, and where's the money? She's like, on the bedside table in the room. So Louise
goes, Sarah, where are your muesli bars?
And just sunglasses.
Anyway.
I just saw my muesli bars. Anyway, so they run back to the room.
They got no muesli bars and they got no sunglasses and fuck that guy.
But he left the money.
Sarah got Thelma and Louise.
I did, but he actually left my money. He just stole my muesli bar and sunglasses. So Brad Pitt's gone. The money's gone. Louise is fucking fuming. Thelma's like, oh, I fucked up again. Oh, I'm so terrible. So one thing I did notice was Thelma seems to have really bad taste in men.
Like, no.
Really bad taste.
Really? No.
Every guy she talks to seems to be a pig.
Look, mate, some people just have a gift, okay? I may be one of them.
Yeah. Well.
Same.
So they're back on the road. No money, all stressed. Thelma gets Louise. No, Thelma was driving. So Louise pulls over and she goes to Louise, I'm just going to run into this market. She runs in, then Louise hears her screaming, go, go, go. And so she jumps in the car, starts the car, and off they go. She's like, what happened? She's like, oh, I just robbed the place. Well, let's add robbery to these charges. As you do.
Yeah.
Thelma has bad taste in men, but what I noticed with Louise, she can't fucking drive. She was all over that road. Like, there'll be no one on the road, and you'll just be watching it in the background. And you know it's one of those fucking movie screens behind them. And they're just like, you know, driving. Next thing, she's like on the other side of the road. And she's back on the other side. Back, and you're just like, there's no one on the road. What are you doing?
Hey, Sarah, out of Thelma and Louise, guess which one you are?
Thelma?
Yep.
I can drive, thank you. I know how to stick to my lane. Do you?
Do you, though?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can. Don't listen to my child who distracts me.
Oh, no, I'm just going from personal experience. And
I'm talking about personal experience, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When? Tell me when. Give me dates. Fucking
We're coming down Coolart Road. It was my birthday. You were driving. Damien was in the back, and he tapped me on the shoulder and was like, is she okay? Because you were in the dirt. You're in the middle. And I said to you, I see where you're going, and I see where you've been, and everything here is scaring Damien.
I don't remember this day.
It was my birthday.
No one's here in my car.
And we had been to see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
This explains why I wasn't there.
Yeah, you were there.
I really don't remember that. Wait, was it at night?
Yes.
That's why. I'm fucking blind. How many times have I told you people? Don't let me drive at night.
I'm a great driver. What do you want about?
I don't drive at night. Michael Schumacher ain't got shit on me. Oh, wait, is it at night? Oh, no, I can't drive.
Yeah, no. Nighttime, I can't drive. No. Don't get me to drive at night.
She's gone through this whole fucking training day fucking spiel of, yeah, Michael Schumacher ain't got shit on me. Oh, wait, was it at night? Oh, yeah, I can't drive at night.
Yeah, no. Okay, so, I'm sorry, but we go through this every fucking time you get me to drive at night. So now they're back on the road. They've got money because, you know, she just fucking robbed it.
Yeah.
Things continue on the same path. The cops now know that they're heading to Mexico because, again, Thelma fucked up.
Yeah.
Told young hitchhiker their plans, and he was arrested by the cops, who then interrogated him.
Hmm.
So I noticed most of the guys in this movie were pretty pig-like, like the truck drivers. And I work with truck drivers, and they're not as bad as what this movie made them out to be. They get pulled over in wherever fucking desert looking place they are, and they end up locking the cop that pulls them over in the boot. So they've killed a man, robbed a store, and assaulted a police officer, robbed him, and locked him in a boot.
Yeah, things are going well.
Yeah.
We call that the time we left the house. Yeah.
So Thelma's all fucking, oh yeah, this is hilariously funny. And Louise is like, oh, fuck, I'm so stressed. Thelma puts out a good point at this time where she says if Louise hadn't come along with the gun, she would have ended up worse off. She would have been beaten, raped, and then the guy would have got away scot-free because she'd been drinking and dancing with him all night, so she was asking for it. As that kind of, the early 90s, yeah, that was a thing. So early
90s, mate, it's still a thing. It's still a problem. It is.
I mean, we mentioned it last episode, but there's, you know.
Yeah.
If it was the dwarf says, not comfortable, you stop. It's called consent. You can't just throw a dwarf.
No.
You need their consent.
You really do.
Even if you're mid-throw and they've been saying yes all the way through. When they say no, you got to stop. That's the law.
Yeah. So after that, they've passed the same truck driver for the third time and they were over his fucking lewd acts towards them. So they get him to pull over with, you know, making him think that, yeah, he was going to get lucky. Instead, they have a go at him and then blow his fuel tanker up. Yeah, because that's what he was hauling. He was hauling explosive, I think it was fuel. So, yeah, they shot the truck a few times and, yeah, it blew up. Then they drive off. Now, because of this explosion, police were able to find where they were.
Yeah.
And the big car chase ensues. As they're getting chased, they stop at the end of the road and they look at it and they go, what the fuck is this? Oh, this looks like the Grand Canyon. Okay. So they reverse up, turn around, go back the other way, and then they get blocked by the police. The cop that's been chasing them the whole time, he's like, okay, can everyone just calm the fuck down? There's fucking cops there with fucking machine guns. There's a helicopter there with fucking guns. Everyone's just like, put your hands up or I gotta fucking shoot you. And he's just like, whoa, whoa, just calm down. The ladies are just stressed. It's fine. We'll just help them.
It's like, two chicks and one gun. Calm down.
Actually, two guns because they stole the other cop's gun.
In fact, two guns. Yeah. Calm down.
Yeah, look, let's just take a leaf out of the Australian's book. We'll get brooms. It'll be fine. We don't need any of these AKs. Put them down.
Relax, guys.
You just need to relax, guys.
Just relax. Relax, yeah. You just need to relax.
Thelma and Louise are in the car and they're just like, oh, well, fuck. And Thelma's just like, oh, I'm not going in. They're not arresting me. Louise is like, what? Oh. Oh. They're like, yep, you with me? You with me? Yeah, let's do this. They give each other a kiss, hold hands, turn the fucking car around, and they drive off a cliff into the Grand Canyon. While the cop's going, no, don't fucking do that. That's stupid. Yes, it's stupid. But no. Girl power. Fuck you. You're not arresting us. You won't take me alive.
You won't take me alive, see?
Off the fucking cliff into the Grand Canyon. And I just went, wow. What a shit ending.
Question. Hang on a minute. I just realized a massive plot hole in this film that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Where do they start their journey again?
I can't remember where they're from, actually.
Okay. So what I'm trying to understand is how the fuck have you hit the Grand Canyon if you're trying to go to Mexico?
They're taking back ways.
Mate, you lost. You're fucking lost.
They didn't want to take, you know, the main highways because, you know, police. So they were all taking the back roads and stuff.
Okay, this is going to be a Friday night wine fight term that I am going to say right now. You're lost. You're lost. You're lost.
You know what? They may have been.
You're lost.
They're on the run. They're shooting people, blowing shit up, robbing people. I mean, come on.
They've met old mate Jimmy in Oklahoma. And now they're at the Grand Canyon? You're lost. You're lost.
No, they started in Arkansas.
Yeah, there you go.
And then they went to Oklahoma and then ended up back towards the Grand Canyon.
Yes, because they're heading from right to left. Oklahoma's next to Arkansas.
So how did you hit the Grand Canyon by going to Mexico? Because that should be south.
Because they went left.
Yeah, lost.
No, so they went Oklahoma, and instead of going through Texas, they went above Texas and then through New Mexico.
Oh, so you're not lost. You went round.
They went round.
Went round.
They went left. Go left.
They went round. I understand.
Sorry, I just had to pull up a map so I knew where the fuck everything was.
Yeah. So their road trip map. And I'm like,
they went above Texas.
Yeah.
They went to New Mexico.
Yes. Well, yeah, now I remember that part.
And then they were going to go down.
Yeah. Like, fucking how do you get to the Grand Canyon from the route that you've just marked out? Oh, that's right. They can't go through Texas. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Although they should have gone into New Mexico and then gone down through New Mexico, not across.
Yeah.
But this is why, you know, you're in charge of the map, Sarah, and I just do the driving.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd give the movie about, I don't know, an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I do recommend people watch it. It is a great movie about friendship and how no matter how many arguments you have with your friends, you will always end up driving off a cliff together at some point.
And no matter how many times they pick up a random and lose their measly bars, I made money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It is. Yeah.
All right. So I had so much fun researching this topic, as I did with the other topics from the last few weeks. However, we would love some suggestions from our listeners. If you have a topic which you would like us to discuss, or even if you've got a particular item or something like that that you want us to cover at some stage, we could basically do a topic around that subject. As we did last week with Emu Wars, we had our Australia as Fuck episode, and yeah, we loved it. And it was all spurred off from a listener who said, I think you should cover Emu Wars. And we're just like, yes, and let's do Australia as Fuck, because that is Australia as Fuck, Aussie as Fuck. Let's do it.
Yep.
So you never know. You might spark something that goes viral. So hit us up. Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, you can find us there. So to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our rubbish. We hope that you have found it entertaining and you're not using any of the facts, not that any of anything that we discussed tonight were facts. Discussing this recording.
Mine was kind of facts. I'm sorry. Mine were. I had facts. Mine was fact and crap.
Fact and crap.
Yeah.
The facts and crap discussed in this recording to make important decisions in your lives. Unless it's in relation to spurring off the side of the Grand Canyon with your best mate going, fuck the police. Yeah, then we definitely wholly support that. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
I say that in jest. That's actually not true.
Yeah, but if you do drink the fuel money, we are behind you and we help.
Yeah, if you do accidentally drink the fuel money, yeah. And
we're or totally your best lucky. Friend's money for the entire weekend. Look,
it's just a whoopsie. It's fine. You don't actually have to drive off the edge of a cliff. It's just a whoopsie. Just contact us. We will tell you how to fix it. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No whoopsie we can't handle. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.